ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, this evening to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And if you need a Bible, the ones in the pew rack in front of you, Psalm 62 would be on page 863. Now, I'm not trying to discourage people from being in the auditorium class, but this evening we kind of start a bunch of things. So if you are supposed to be an Awana worker, you should be down in Awanas. If you're working with the teens, you would be there. And then my wife is teaching the Sunday morning ladies Bible study that is normally taught in the Sunday school hour for those who are not able to be there because they're teaching other classes or in the nursery. She is teaching that in room 201. So a number of different possibilities for this evening. I'd love just to have you stay here, but if you need to be somewhere else, just want you to be aware of that. But let's go ahead and take a look here. Psalm 62, and last week we had the more serious air conditioning problems. We're still not fully fixed, but much more comfortable. Last Sunday, I preached without sweating for the first time in several weeks, so that was helpful. And hopefully, once we get that other compressor fixed here in the next couple of weeks, we'll be fully back to that. But last week we had more problems, so we were over in the multi-purpose room, and I kind of liked that. You know, you were kind of compelled to be about where John is there and where Jeff is there on forward, because that's all the bigger the room is. So, you know, just if we could, we're going to be, because people are in Awana and with the teens and whatever, we're going to be small group here. So if you can just kind of, as a matter of habit on Wednesday nights, you know, come in and grab these first half a dozen or so pews, I promise nobody will bite you. We'll get along fine. But it's nice for me to be able to actually see people's faces, you know. My vision isn't so good when you get much farther back. Someday we're going to fix and have brighter lights in here, I don't know. But, you know, that's a dream that the Lord might help us with at whatever point. But in any event, we began last week a study that I'm just calling this series, Christ Our Rock. And what we're going to do over the next 6 or 7 weeks is consider some of the passages that describe God and Jesus in particular as our rock. So what we did last week was we started out, we just kind of did some brainstorming. We thought about, you know, what is the imagery of the rock all about? I mean, what does that conjure up in your mind? Because that's what God is doing in the Bible when he describes himself and when Jesus is described that way, is drawing upon that picture we have in our minds of a great rock, of just the stability that is there. And we brainstormed some of the verses, you know, that would come to off the top of our head about that. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So there's about 10 statements there, but they all draw our thinking just to that security and that strength, that solidness that we have in our relationship with God. A little later in that same psalm, it says, "For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God," or except our God. And that same verse, that same sentence appears in 2 Samuel 22. And a little later in 2 Samuel 22, we read this, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." A verse that I learned to memorize years and years ago that has stuck with me, Deuteronomy 32:4, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." And one of the beautiful things about the Old Testament descriptions of God is that they just pile on those terms and just, you know, just kind of try to overwhelm us with the greatness of God and with some of the ways that God can be described to us. We obviously can't fully comprehend God, but he gives us these pictures and these descriptions to just draw our attention to different things about God. In Isaiah 28, God says, the prophet says, "I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation." And then the book of Ephesians draws upon that imagery that Jesus Christ is himself the chief cornerstone. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, we're told that Christ is to the Jews a stumbling block. In Romans, Paul says, "I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense." So we just went through some of these, just kind of brainstormed some of these different passages that describe God, that describe our Savior as a rock. And so we're just going to look at a half a dozen or so of those and just let them encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. And obviously, the Old Testament descriptions are usually referring to God or the Lord. Sometimes in messianic prophecies, so very clearly it's talking about Christ. And in fact, here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:4. And he's talking about Israel wandering in the wilderness. And he says, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So that's just really kind of, I'm just kind of recovering kind of the introduction here of where we're going to go now in these coming weeks. And so last week we started out by looking at Jesus as a rock of shelter for the weary. And we looked at Isaiah 32, where the prophet speaks. He's prophesying about the coming Messiah. And he describes Jesus in four different ways. And the last of them is as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And we finished up last week looking at Psalm 91, the first two verses. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's that same kind of picture there as we saw in Isaiah 32. But then he goes on to say, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And the word has the idea of a great shelter from storms. And my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And for tonight, I want to transition us then to that idea that's there in Psalm 91 of God as our refuge, as the rock of refuge from the storms of life. So that's the title of the message tonight, The Rock of Refuge. And let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you are indeed our rock, that the Lord Jesus is our rock and our salvation. He is our refuge and our fortress and our high tower, our strength, the one to whom we can run and be secure and be delivered from the storms and adversity in life. I pray, Father, that you would use your word tonight to just encourage us to grow in our confidence in you, our great God, and in your Son, our great Savior, and that we would find our rest in you. So we ask your blessing upon this time. I pray that you would guide my thoughts and words. And Father, give us an openness and an interest in the Word of God, knowing that it indeed will be used by your Spirit to change us, to transform us, to build our faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look here at the first eight verses, and really primarily verses 1 and 2, and then verses 5 through 8 in Psalm 62. So we won't really examine the whole psalm. We're just focusing on this idea of God as our rock. But let's read here. Psalm 62 says, truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 3, how long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation, my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now, if you just take a look at those eight verses, you see in the first two verses, the psalmist just gives a statement of his confidence in God. He says, you know, I'm going to wait on God. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He is my defense. And then in verses 3 through 4, we see the opposition that inevitably comes when we turn our attention to God and we want to trust in him, but it always seems like there's something that comes to challenge that trust. And in this case, there's some persecution. There's some mischief plotted against him. So he says, here comes the persecution. But then he goes back in verse 5 and he says, no, you know what? This is okay. I don't need to be concerned about this because, and then he goes back and he says just what he said in the first two verses. He says, because listen, I can wait on God. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. He's my refuge. And then in verse 8, having just come to that conclusion for himself, the psalmist turns to us and says to us, now you trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. So that's just the gist of what he's doing there. He's saying, listen, we can have confidence in God. Yes, the opposition is going to come, but we can have confidence in God. Hey, folks, let's have confidence in God. That's just the gist of what he's saying there in those eight verses. And what I want to do here for our remaining time tonight is just identify four words of assurance for us, for lack of a better term, four sentences of assurance, I suppose, from this psalm. And here's the first one. The first one is, no matter the circumstances, our God can be trusted. No matter the circumstances, our God can be trusted. And really, he describes this just using the picturesque language, the imagery of God as our rock and our deliverer. Now, I told you last week I had some slides prepared with some nice rock pictures, okay? If you like pictures of rocks, we'll look at a couple of those this evening. But, you know, just... This is a rock. It's called Haystack Rock. You can see the little guy standing there down on the beach. But this is on the Pacific coast, not far from where we used to live. And when the tide is out, you can walk to that rock. This is a picture of the tide. When the tide is in, you'd have to swim. But you know what? And the waves come crashing in and whatever, but that rock does not move. You know, and I often think of that rock. Next slide, Dave, if you would. Now, this is a rock that actually... Whenever I see Haystack Rock, I'm reminded of this rock. This is a rock that I used to see every time my submarine, when we were operating out of Holy Loch, Scotland, put out to sea or came back in. And in this rock, the name of this rock is Elsa Craig. And it sits in the channel between Scotland and England, in the North Channel there. And it was always an interesting thing. It was a coveted thing, except when the weather was really bad, which sometimes it was, but to be able to be on the bridge on a submarine. You know, it only fits about four people. So typically you'd have an officer of the deck, you'd have a junior officer of the deck, you'd have a lookout. And then sometimes a skipper or whatever would come up there, and on nice nights people would always get permission to come up one at a time, and it's really a nice thing. And invariably, when you are coming in, and we would often, you know, come in and out of port at nighttime just for security reasons, but when you are coming in and you're training your lookouts, right? And you're standing up there. I had a conversation the other day with a guy who honestly was questioning if the earth was really flat. Interesting. Haven't had that conversation before, okay? I knew people used to have that conversation. And I was explaining to him that, you know, one, the Bible doesn't teach that the earth is flat. He was suggesting that it does. Said it doesn't. And I said, and let me just speak to you from personal experience, okay? I know that the earth is curved because when you're standing on the sail of a submarine, you see things come rising up over the horizon because, you know, there's that curvature and you can't see past the curvature. And you can actually see with your own eyes that, yes, there is curvature there. So what happens when there's a rock like this? You're coming in, it's dark, the lookout is there, he's got a binoculars, and they're looking for other ships. And the way that rock appears is just the tip of it starts to rise above the horizon. And invariably, the young and experienced guys will be convinced that this is a ship. And the thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And they are convinced that this is one massive ship. And typically, you let them call down to the navigator and you know, make their report. And the navigator will say, that's Elsa Craig. You know? And then everybody has a good joke at their expense. You know, but a massive rock. Next slide. There it is up close. Kind of looks like that Haystack Rock, but bigger. It's a really big rock. And, you know, I've operated in that channel in the midst of a North Sea storm, and it's not a pleasant place to be. You know, your height of eye when the submarine's operating in still water, where you're standing, your eye is about 25 feet above the surface of the ocean, okay? And I have looked at waves like this, okay, that, you know, are come crashing down, and you're there in an exposure suit, and you're all bundled up, and it's hyper cold, and it's hyper windy. I think I've told this story before. And, you know, whoever sees the wave coming first says, duck, and you all duck under the clamshell and try not to get drenched. It's really secure because the hatch is secured before you so that the waves don't come into the control room. So you're up there on your own. You're tethered in, hoping you're not going to get sloshed out. But, you know, there are big waves. And that rock doesn't shudder, right? It just sits. You know, it does not move. Night, day, whatever. That's the imagery we get of the idea of God as our rock. That whatever the storms of life, whatever the difficulties, you know, however great, night, day, doesn't matter, whatever it is, God is there. He is steadfast. He is secure. He can be trusted. And so this psalm here tells us, it just uses this picturesque language that our God can be trusted. He is our rock. We see that three times. In fact, three times in verse, I don't know if I didn't highlight it here. But between verses 1, 2, 5 through 7, it's three times. And the idea, the word has the idea of a great boulder, even a cliff. But it describes God as this massive rock, not just a little stone. He's described as our salvation. That's there three times, not including verse 1. And the word actually is Yeshua, which is kind of like Yeshua or Joshua, which is actually the Old Testament equivalent of Jesus. So here we have the word salvation. Describes God, our rock, and describes our Savior. He is our defense. That appears twice, and that word has the idea of a high tower, of a fortress, of a refuge, the place that people flee to when the enemy attacks. He's described as our strength, the rock of our strength, in verse 7, emphasizing the absolute security we have with God, with Christ as our rock, and He is our refuge, our shelter from any and all danger and in every storm. So you have, He's our rock, He's our salvation, He's our defense, He's our strength, He's our refuge. Just this continuing, ongoing language, reminding us that no matter the circumstance, our God is trustworthy. He can be trusted. Second word of assurance I would give us is this: no matter the severity of the storm, our Savior will not move. Okay, that's the thing about rocks. The wind and the waves don't affect them. And the point is this, folks: if we will rest in God, if we will trust in Christ, then we won't be moved either. That's what he says in verse 2. He says, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And it doesn't have the word therefore there, but that's the idea. Therefore, I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And the idea of being moved is being shaken, being dislodged, being turned upside down, those kinds of ideas. That's what that idea of I will not be moved. Just as God is immovable, as it were, when we rest in Him, we don't have to worry about the circumstances of life turning us upside down, shaking us, damaging us, dislodging us. We can rest secure in Him. Give me the next photo here. We have this picture in our home. It's probably the most famous lighthouse picture that exists. And this is a photograph. This is not a painting. This is a photograph taken from a French photographer from a helicopter in the middle of a very bad storm. Okay, the lighthouse is the La Jumeau Lighthouse. It's off the coast of Brittany, France. And the photographer's name was Jean Guichard, and he took this in 1989. The striking characteristic is the guy standing in the door there. Now, a little later on, I'll tell you the rest of the story. You know, Paul Harvey always has the rest of the story. But it's a pretty stunning thing. Dave, take me to the next slide, if you would. Here's what it looks like a moment later from a little further away, okay? So the first picture, when you're looking at it closed in, you can see the waters up there, but it doesn't look quite so threatening. But there's what happens each time those big waves come crashing down on that thing. And the doorway is on the leeward side there. Okay? But that's, and there's a whole series of photographs this guy took from a helicopter in really windy conditions. You know, pretty great accomplishment. Okay? That's the idea of what this is saying. There can be great waves. There can be great storms. There can be great difficulty that comes crashing upon us, but there is security in God. He is our rock. No matter the severity of the storm, our Savior will not move. Now, I did find one case of one lighthouse that actually broke off in the waves, not too far from here. But, you know, this guy's been out there dealing with those waves for years and years. This guy is in the lighthouse for years and years and years, hasn't moved an inch. You know, it's just as secure as when it was built. I'm not sure how they built it. That must have been an exciting thing. We have that in our home just as a reminder. You know, the idea of God as our protecting rock like that to shield us and protect us from the storms and waves of life. In Song of Solomon, you can go back down to the next slide, Dave. So there's that picture again. We'll come back to that in a minute. But go to the next slide. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 14, Solomon says, "Oh my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." And he's talking about his Shulamite bride and likening her to a dove secure in the crevice of a great rock. And this is a picture from the Middle East, from Palestine, and it is a very common thing for doves to find their refuge in those little crevices within the rock. Now, I couldn't find a picture. I've seen one somewhere, but I couldn't find it online, where you have doves in the midst of a storm. I mean, it's a little bit further away, and you get the full impact. But that's the imagery that is there. And we can find our... You know, doves are not known for being brave, strong, aggressive birds, right? I mean, the adage in the Scripture is be cunning as serpent and harmless as doves, right? Because the stereotype of the dove is something that's kind of defenseless, something that just kind of sits there and looks at you and you know, can't protect itself, can't really do too much in that regard. And so we're kind of like those doves. I mean, and the reality is the storms of life left to ourselves can destroy us and can move us and turn us upside down and undo us. But if we are resting secure in Christ our rock, you know, He's our protection. And no matter how severe the storm, our Savior will not move. And if we are trusting in Him, then neither will we. We can be secure in our faith, protected in our faith. Third word of assurance is, no matter the urgency of the trial, we can wait on God. We must wait on God. In verse 1, he says, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation." Verse 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation, my hope is from him." You know, if you had a dove that was hidden away like that in a bad storm, how foolish it would be for that dove to venture out into the storm. Or how dangerous would it be for the lighthouse keeper to just, instead of standing in the shield of the lighthouse there, to step around the side and just take on that wave, eyeball to eyeball. Those would be dangerous kinds of things. And yet sometimes we try to tackle things on our own when we should be just waiting on God and resting in Him. Go to the next slide if you would. So here's the rest of the story. There was this storm. The photographer is out there in his helicopter. Well, this was a really bad storm. I think it was, didn't I say 1989? Okay. And the waves had actually broken from the other side some of the windows on the lighthouse and damaged even some of the furniture inside down on the ground floor. And there were two lighthouse keepers there, and they were, frankly, fearing for their lives. You know, I guess they were having some second thoughts about how that lighthouse was going to hold up in this severe, severe crashing of waves. And upon hearing Gouchard's helicopter flying around, one of the lighthouse keepers thought, well, maybe that was a rescue helicopter. So he stepped out into the doorway to kind of wave at the helicopter and make sure they knew that somebody was there. So he steps out into the door, and in the providence of God, he sensed a big wave coming, and he ducked back inside. And he's convinced that, I mean, you know, it was probably just moments after this, just as that wave came crashing over, that had he not done so, he would have lost his life. He would have been washed over the side because he stepped out of the protection of being within that lighthouse. And in an interview later, he survived, okay, he said, "If I had been a little further away from the door, I would not have made it back into the tower, and I would be dead today. You cannot play with the sea." And that's true, but folks, we can't trifle also with the challenges and trials of life and think that we can go them on our own. We need to rest in God. We need to depend upon our rock, the one who protects us, the one who gives us stability and security. We need to remain secure within the rock of our salvation and not take matters into our own hands. We just need to trust, and we need to wait on God. That leads us to our last word of assurance here tonight. No matter the alternatives, we must rely only on Him. Spurgeon always has amazing insights. And a very, it's no wonder that tens of thousands of people came to hear him preach. You know, very, very creative ways of expressing things. On Sunday, I mentioned, you know, his sermon titled Never, 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 okay? Well, this particular psalm, Spurgeon referred to it as the only psalm, okay? O-N-L-Y, the only psalm. Because six times in this psalm, you find the word only. Okay, now, it's translated in the King James translation, the word truly in verse 1 is that same word, only. And the word surely in verse 9. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then 5 through 8, and in those 6 verses, you'll see the word only four different times. So starting in verse 1, truly, or only, my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only, or He alone, is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be greatly moved. If you skip down to verse 5, my soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge, and is in God. But folks, our Savior must be our first and only refuge. You know, we need to stop dividing our trust between God and myself and thinking I can take care of things, or God and other people, or God and things, or God and a job, or God and money, or God and whatever it is. God alone, He only is our rock, our defense, our security, our refuge, and we need to trust and depend exclusively and only in Him. I've often quoted this verse in Psalm 20, where the psalmist says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And folks, it is so easy for us to trust in other things. You know, you go back through the nation Israel, and one of their chronic problems was seeking to ally themselves with Egypt or the northern kingdom or the Syrians or whomever it might be, thinking that that was going to be their security and their protection against invading armies. And God would, you know, in concept, you know, shake His head and say, what are you people thinking? You know, I'm your answer. I'm your rock. I'm your security. I'm your fortress. I'm your refuge. You just need to trust in me. Not chariots, not somebody else's army, not the concept of an alliance. You need to trust in me. And folks, it is just part of our sinful nature to try and figure it out on our own, to try and trust ourselves and turn to God as a last resort after we mess it up even worse, you know, to think that some person or some circumstance is the answer to the trials and difficulties that we're experiencing. We need to trust first and only in God and just keep our confidence in Him. In Acts 4:12, we're told that there's salvation in no other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Certainly, Jesus is our only rock when it comes to salvation. But folks, He's our only rock when it comes to spiritual growth. He's our only rock when it comes to effective service. He's our only rock when it comes to facing trials. It isn't just salvation where we need to have our faith exclusively in Him. It's in every aspect of our lives. Jesus is our only rock. He alone's our rock, our salvation, our defense, our strength, and our refuge. And that's what the psalmist wants us to take away here. And he makes this appeal then. He says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Folks, no matter the circumstances, our God can be trusted. No matter the severity, the violence of the storm, our Savior will not move, and if we'll trust in Him, neither will we. No matter the urgency of the trial, we must wait on God, and no matter the alternatives, we must rely only on Him. And to that, David makes that appeal. Trust in Him at all times. God is a refuge for us. He's the only refuge. He's the rock of refuge who can be trusted. Father, we're thankful for the assurances we find today.